I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. A report released today shines a new light on the practice of illegal rendition. That is the secret process of deporting people away from their country to avoid the legal process. This report is by the group Human Rights Watch. It focuses on the fate of terrorism suspects rounded up in the East African nation of Kenya. Human Rights Watch says the suspects ended up in detention centers around Ethiopia. The BBC was able to speak to one detainee from Kenya.
The conditions are really bad. We don't have enough food. We don't have enough access to medicine. We are kept in a very small police cell, 8 people in a room, 12 by 12 feet. This cell is wet. We sleep on the floor rather than the sodden mattresses. One prisoner was beaten so badly he's had his leg broken.
That is one detainee in contact with the BBC. According to Human Rights Watch, some of the detainees were also questioned by U.S. interrogators. Jennifer Daskal of Human Rights Watch in Washington says it all began with turmoil in Somalia.
In mid to late 2006, Islamist authorities started to take control over much of Somalia and in late 2006 took over the capital. That basically set off alarm bells in Washington and also in Ethiopia. And the Ethiopian military invaded Somalia with the backing of the United States and ousted the Islamists from power in the capital of Somalia in Mogadishu.
Because the United States did not want Islamic extremists in power in Somalia.
That's exactly right.
So where do these deportations or these illegal renditions come in?
So after the Ethiopians invaded, there was, as is predictable, a mass flow of people fleeing the fighting. And a number of these individuals, some of whom were suspected of terrorist links, crossed over into Kenya. The Kenyans basically set up operations along the border, and they arrested around at least 150 of these men, women, and children. In late January and early February, at least 85 of these individuals were secretly boarded onto a series of three different flights and deported or rendered to Somalia, where they were handed over to Ethiopian custody. The Ethiopians then took these individuals into Ethiopia. Some were taken to Addis Ababa, and others were taken overland to various other military detention facilities in Ethiopia.
And what happened then?
The individuals who were in Addis Ababa, for the most part, almost all of them, from what we know, were interrogated by American CIA and FBI agents who were there. On a daily basis, the Ethiopians would transport some detainees to a villa where the Americans were operating, and the Americans would interrogate these individuals about alleged terrorist links. At the end of the day, the Ethiopians would bring back the individuals to the detention facilities where they were being held.
Now, how do you know that Americans were involved in this?
We know because we've spoken to numerous detainees who cite the fact that they were interrogated by Americans, and we've also received off-the-record confirmation by an administration official that, in fact, that was true.
And what you're saying is something that would be illegal, correct, if they were interrogating these people who were questionably held?
It certainly makes the United States complicit in the illegal renditions and the incommunicado detentions that were going on. I mean, the United States certainly should have known and likely did know that these men were being held incommunicado and that they had been illegally rendered. At a minimum, it makes the United States complicit in the abuse that was taking place.
Was there any proof of torture on behalf of the U.S. agents or Ethiopian agents?
We ourselves have not spoken with detainees who have alleged physical torture or abuse at the hands of Americans. We have spoken to several detainees who have described brutal torture at the hands of the Ethiopian captors, including detainees who talked about having toenails and fingernails being pulled out, being beaten to the point of unconsciousness. Two detainees I spoke to talked about their testicles being crushed by Ethiopian interrogators, and one detainee described having a loaded gun put to his head.
Are these prisoners being charged? Are they getting a trial?
We know of 10 individuals who are still being held in Addis Ababa. 9 of them are Kenyans. One is a dual Canadian-Ethiopian citizen. He is reportedly being charged by a military trial in Ethiopia. He's not represented by a lawyer. The trial is completely closed. It's nothing even closely resembling anything close to a fair trial. And we really don't know very much about what's happening behind those closed doors.
So what's happened to those who are not still imprisoned?
The majority of those individuals were released. There are still 22 individuals whose whereabouts are unknown. We haven't heard anything about where they are. They could still be in Ethiopian detention. They could be dead, or it's possible that they're released as well.
Jennifer, have you at Human Rights Watch discussed your findings with the U.S. State Department or the FBI?
We have requested comments from both the State Department and the FBI, and they have declined to provide any sort of on-the-record response to our investigation and report.
Let me just ask you this. Is there any doubt that al-Qaeda has a presence in Africa, specifically the East?
No. I mean, I think there's certainly reason to be concerned about terrorist activity in East Africa. It's the site of the embassy bombings in 1998. It's the site of the attack on the Paradise Hotel in Kenya. So there's certainly reason to be concerned. The problem is that when the United States is involved in programs that are illegal and move people out of the justice system, it ends up fueling the same type of anti-American militancy that the United States is trying to weed out.
All right, Jennifer Daskal of Human Rights Watch, talking about the report being released today on renditions in the Horn of Africa. Thanks very much, Jennifer.
Thank you.